morning, we want to give you guys, and just kind of together as a family, have a conversation that just gets us deeper into this idea of what is worship. But we don't want to just talk about it. We want to show you. So I'd like to invite two of our worship leaders here at the church up onto the stage. Craig Battisfour and Brianna Porter, why don't you guys come on up? Would you welcome them on up to the stage? Now, as they're coming up on stage, you're looking at them and you're saying, I've never seen these worship leaders up singing into a microphone. I've never seen them lead a song. Hi, guys, have a seat. I've never seen them sing a solo. I've never seen them, quote, lead in worship. You may be wondering why I invited them up as worship leaders. And the reason I did is because worship isn't just about music, is it? It's about a life of surrender, isn't it? Isn't it? So thanks so much for being here, you guys. We just want to hear from your lives a little bit. Craig and Brianna are both people who have been following the Lord with all their hearts to the best of their ability and even beyond because of what God is able to do in their lives. And I just wanted to spend some time together this morning asking them some questions and just seeing what God has been doing in their life and how God has defined worship for them, not just singing, not just here on Sundays, but all through the week. So we're going to go ahead and start with Brianna. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Don't worry. Craig, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Very easy. I grew up on the East Coast in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and I didn't know the Lord. And God had a plan for me, and I didn't know it at the time, but he brought me to California for work and introduced me to a couple people who did know Jesus, and they shared with me. And it was on Father's Day 1980 in my apartment all alone in Southern California that I got on my knees and accepted Jesus into my life. And I guess it was at that point God thought, well, now, Craig, you're ready to meet the love of your life and your best friend. So a couple months later, I met my wife, Chris, and we've been married for over 36 years. People ask me if I have kids. I say, no, I have adults. They are Ed and Morgan. They both love Jesus. And it was my work that brought me to Modesto. And I work for the Gallo Winery, and I run one of their business units.
Brianna, how about you?
Okay. I grew up in a Christian home, and from a very young age, I felt the Lord calling me to love him. And I haven't done that perfectly over the years. But and then I have four little girls currently, and am expecting our first boy in about a month. And
at least you could do that. That's good.
I assumed it would be another girl.
Of course, so would I. But
and my husband and I, my husband works for a family company, and we are we serve in the Life Together group, and I part-time homeschool, part-time do like a little co-op, and basically spend my days with my kids.
That's Travis, awesome. Can I add something real quick? You reminded me. She has four girls, you said?
Yeah.
I have three beautiful granddaughters, thanks to my fabulous daughter-in-law, Jamie, and my son, Eddie. And we have another one on the way also.
That's awesome. Girls are great. We all love girls, right? And God blesses people who he loves with girls. So that's what I believe. So I invited you guys up here as worship leaders, and the reason I did is because I know of both of your lives. You are doing everything you can to surrender to the Lord. Use your lives as an act of worship every day, and we all know that none of us do that perfectly, but God has been using you guys in the situations you find yourself in. Craig, what I want to ask you is that, so worshiping together on Sundays is such an incredible experience. When we come together, it's just an incredible time. But for you, when you're not here, this is like 1% of each of our weeks. When you're not here in the other 99% of your week, what does worship look like for you?
Yeah, well, for me, Travis, God put something on my heart a few years ago. I've always been very goal-oriented and always had goals at work, but I didn't really have a goal for my personal life. So a couple years ago, I decided I needed a goal for my personal life, and it became that I want to live a life where people see Jesus in me as I'm being transformed to become more like Jesus. And what God said to me is there was really four things that I needed to do. One of those things is that I needed to be in the Word. I can't be like Jesus if I don't know what Jesus is like. So I needed to spend more time in my Bible. Secondly, I needed to be in community with believers and community with non-believers. Third is I had to serve others. And then fourth is I had to share Jesus with people. So I set up a course for my life to do that. And so what Monday through Saturday looks like for me is every morning I get up early, and that's my prayer time. And I do it while I'm walking. So I walk my neighborhood. That's when I lift up prayers, requests. That's when I seek wisdom for my day. That's when I just generally talk to God. After my walk, I get ready for work. But before I leave for work every morning, my wife and I, we pray together. It's not for long, but it sets the right tone for the day. Then when I get in my car to drive to work, it's always K-Love or it's always The Message on Sirius XM. I find that if I'm listening to Christian music, you can't be anything but happy and upbeat when you get to work. I park as far away in the parking lot as I can, hoping to give myself an opportunity on the way into work to meet somebody I've not met before, introduce myself, get to know them. I heard on K-Love a long time ago that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So that's one of the things that I try to do each day is get to know people. There are thousands of people there. Try to learn their name, try to remember their name next time. So all day at work, I'm trying to invest in people, and I get lots of opportunities to share Jesus as well. When I get home from work, the first thing that I do is I go upstairs and I read my Bible. The reason I do that is when I get home, my wife, who is the hardest worker I know, she works a lot harder than I ever do, she's always got some sort of project going on, so she's knee-deep in that. So this is the good time for me to go upstairs and spend some time with the Lord. After that, Chris and I get together, you know, we have dinner and we have the rest of our evening. So that's a typical day. On Monday nights, my wife, my daughter, and I serve at Monday Night Church, a ministry led by Andrew Kaufman, who's absolutely terrific, and he does a fabulous job. But we serve a hot meal to anywhere between 100 and 300 people who otherwise might not have a hot meal. On Wednesday mornings, I have my 6:15 men's Bible study, which I love, a great group of guys. Thursday nights is man-to-man ministry down here at Cross Point in the Pavilion. It's 7 o'clock, another great group of guys. I'm also currently involved in two discipleship relationships. With one young man, I meet with him once a month for lunch. With another one, we meet once a quarter. And I'm looking forward now to another discipleship relationship I'm hoping to start this week. So Saturday and Sunday, it's the same thing, up early in the morning, walking, praying, reading my Bible that evening. And then Sunday, back here with you, Travis.
With me?
Yeah.
How special.
But that's an average week.
That's awesome. Brianna, how about you? How does worship look like for you in the other 99% of your life?
Well, I would say the number one way that God has been over the last many years has been asking me to lay my life down. Has just been in mothering and in running a home, which I always thought would really come naturally because I grew up and my mom did a great job, in my opinion, and a lot of my friends' moms were doing it, so it was kind of like, oh yeah, that's just what you do. But it is not as natural as I expected. Just the way that God, just in silly things like being able to manage laundry for six people and, you know, cook and then to parent, it's way beyond my ability. And I feel like that requires me needing Jesus more than anything else in my life.
I think it would be easy for us just living life and just even maybe being Western Christians to look at that and say, how is laundry worship? Because it just seems so mundane. Does anyone kind of connect with that thought? I mean, how could laundry be worship? How could disciplining my child be worship? How could making dinner? How could just the myriad of things that we just mundanely do every day, how could that be worship? How is that worship for you?
Well, because I know without a shadow of doubt that God has asked me to serve my family that way. And so I've tried in my own strength to do that before with, like, finding good tips online or, you know, picking other people's brain, which there's a need for that because I do need a method. But the only thing that has actually given me joy while I do it is when I ask the Lord to give me joy. And then in the actual doing of it, he talks to me and I get to And then when I see a little bit of victory, where like for the first time in 10 years, I don't feel defeated by laundry, I recognize that that's him changing me, because I tried for a lot of years to like get on top of it. I couldn't. So I just see that as like, he's changed my heart to be able to be at home more without resentment, all that.
That's so awesome. It's amazing how these mundane moments of our life can turn into worshipful moments. And it's not about what we're doing, it's about who we're looking to. It's any time we turn Godward, we're worshiping. Doesn't have to be singing, doesn't have to be even some big opportunity where we could totally disobey or totally obey. It can just be, God, this is what you've given me to do, and I'm doing it. Craig, you shared a story with me when we went to lunch about a lady at work that you were able to just really have an impact on. Would you share that story?
Sure. At work, I often get asked to speak to small groups, often small as 15, sometimes as big as 50. And what I'm asked to speak about is, because I've had a long career at Gallo, I'm asked to speak is, what does it take to be successful at Gallo? And they asked me to tell my story and my journey, which I do. But I always close it at the end with talking about work-life balance, and that you have to believe in something bigger than yourself to have peace in your life. And one of the things I co-opted from Travis, he preached a few years ago, it was, when you're looking for something else in your life, it has to be true, it has to be significant, and it has to be eternal. And I share that with these folks. Most of them are considerably younger than me. They're new in their careers. And I tell them that for me, what I have found is Jesus. And I explain to them why, and I explain to them how, very briefly. But then I always give an invitation at the end that if you ever want to learn more about that, come see me afterward. Invite me to lunch, stop my office. And the story I told Travis is very recently, just last month, I had the opportunity to give one of those talks. And every time I do it, a couple people respond, and there was this one young woman particularly who did respond, and she had a lot of questions because she didn't know God, she didn't know Jesus, and so she came, she asked, and when she asked, I responded. We went for a long walk, and I gave her my testimony and answered all of her questions. She asked if there was a book she could read. I said yes, and I got her a book. We've since followed back up on that book, all on her driving. I invite her, when you're ready to talk again, just come see me. So no pressure. But she's a seeker right now, and she's on a journey, and don't know where that will end up, but that's not my responsibility. That's God's responsibility. I'm just responsible to do my part.
It's so amazing how God gives you those opportunities. I want to ask you guys a what-if question, and just briefly share with us what you would say to this. Imagine, God forbid, that next year you find yourself on your deathbed. You know you're going to die. And right before your last breath, God gives you the opportunity in that last moment to relive the last 10 years of your life. The point of his giving you that time to do over, being to live a life of deeper, more sincere, and more selfless worship. What things would you change and redo in those last 10 years? Brianna?
When I think about the last 10 years, I would say it kind of is divided in my brain into five-year increments. And so the first 5 years of those 10 years was the beginning of my marriage, and just moved out of my parents' house. And I would say I wish that I would have been braver to be more honest with myself and with other people, of basically to look at the hard parts of life. I wish that I would have trusted Jesus more deeply, because that's the only thing that would have given me the courage to be able to look at those hard places, and be able to invite other people to speak truth into my life. And then at that five-year mark, my husband and I just basically hit a crisis in our marriage and life. And, I mean, God just, like, totally shook me then. And so it's hard to say what I would change in those last 5 years, because he's really had my attention. And so although I mean, there's like plenty of like circumstances or moments where I just was like super ugly and acted out in a lot of sin, that of course I would change. But the reality is that I know this truth right now, and yet I still get really irritated at my kids, and I still snap at my husband, and And I do. I trust the Lord to change me. So it's hard to say that I could change all those circumstances and somehow be perfect, because, of course, that's what I would love. So I think just, like, continuing to trust him more fully in the really hard crisis moments, and then also just, you know, the irritants of raising kids and living with other people in general.
Easy.
Pretty good, Brad. Yeah, for me, there's a lot of things that I would do differently, but the one that really stuck with me is I wish I had gotten involved in men's ministries at this church a lot sooner than I did. I've been involved for about the last year and a half, and it really has been fabulous. In my Wednesday morning Bible study, we're reading a book now, and in one of the chapters it said, if when you become a Christian, if the difference in you doesn't make a difference in the things that make a difference, then what's the difference? And that really struck me. And what I find at men's ministries particularly is that I'm given the opportunity to invest and encourage and build into under other men. And as importantly, they're doing the same for me. And I'm getting a lot more out of it, I'm sure, than I'm giving. But if I had something to do all over again, I'd have gotten involved in that a lot sooner.
That's awesome. Well, Brianna and Craig, we are just so thankful that you were willing to get up here and share just a peek into your lives. We know that you are not setting yourselves up at all. I asked you to do this. You're not setting yourselves up on a pedestal to be looked at, but you're just sharing with us how you're surrendering to Jesus every day. And this church is so thankful to you for sharing. Would you guys give them a hand and thank them? I think it's so awesome to be able to look into the lives of people who are just average, everyday people, just like all of us are, and just to see how God is moving and working in all of our lives. Hey, that's a picture of me. I am just so thankful to be part of this church. This has been my family my whole life. And God has just put a few things on my heart I'd like to share with you about worship this morning. In no way is it exhaustive, never could be. We're going to be spending the rest of eternity figuring out the exhaustive nature of worship, just how wide and deep it is. But I want to share with you, in Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then later in the same book, when asked, what is the greatest commandment? This teacher of the law comes to Jesus and says, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus shows us what seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness actually looks like. And he answers in Matthew 22, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And some versions say, "and all your strength." "This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." He says the whole Bible depends on loving God and loving your neighbor. The kingdom of God is not a what, it's a who. And so seeking God's kingdom all comes down to loving the king of the kingdom and to loving those that the king loves. Amen? The people of God are a people whose hearts are set on God and set on others. The people of God are not characterized by taking and getting for themselves. They are characterized by surrendering and giving to others. This is what Jesus says, not what Travis says. To be very vulnerable with you right now this morning, I have to admit that when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to say with you this morning, it was really difficult to figure it out. There's just so much to be said about worship, but the first kind of a plan of attack I went to was I started at a place of trying to figure out what I could say to you to help you become the kind of worshiper that God desires. But on Monday evening, as I walked out to my car from my office, at the end of the day, I was thinking about what I might say to you. God stopped me in my tracks and spoke to my heart, and he said, son, what if instead of telling my other kids who they should become, you shared with them the kind of man you want to become? And like the smart person that I am, I argued with God, and I said, God, Father, wouldn't that be prideful of me? After all, this morning is not about me. And he said, well, it could be a cause of pride if you were anywhere close to the mark. I kid you not, that's exactly what he said to my heart. And so this morning, hopefully in deep humility, I want to share with you who I want to become and who I think God is maybe inviting each one of us to become as a church, as it involves worship of him. If you'd extend that grace to me, I want to share that with you. I want to be the kind of man who has a king, seeks the king, and loves the king, Jesus. I want to be the kind of man who sees the other children of the king as worthy of my love and my sacrifice. I want to be the kind of man that seeks the heart and character of the king above all things. The kind of man who lives a life so surrendered and worshipful to my king on Monday through Saturday that Sunday services aren't a service to me, but a service for God and others. I want to be the kind of man that my entitlements, my opinions, and my preferences would seem so small to me in comparison to the greatness of my Father and how worthy he is of my unbridled praise. The kind of man that is so saturated with my King, who has given endlessly to me, that I would come here not as a taker, but as a giver. Because I find this relational law to be unquestionably true, both from Scripture and from experience, that if I come here on Sunday or any day of my life with a heart set on taking and getting, I will likely receive nothing, because my heart is closed off to the kinds of things that God gives. God is not interested in feeding my opinions and my entitlements. God is interested in feeding my humility and my love. And if I struggle with praise of God on Sunday, if I struggle with coming here and unabashedly worshiping him no matter what song is playing, no matter how loud the music is, no matter how light or how dim the lights are, no matter what preference I have or what preference I don't have, if I struggle with praising God in any circumstance here on Sunday or any day of the week and expressing my deep love and gratefulness for who he is and what he's done, it's quite possibly because I haven't been experiencing him firsthand Monday through Saturday. In other words, I haven't been worshiping. But if I come with my heart set on surrendering and giving, my God is able to give back to me. Because my heart is in a place that is able to receive the kinds of gifts God gives: love, humility, mercy, grace, kindness, forgiveness, compassion. If I come set on surrendering and giving, I guarantee I will walk away from this room with more than I came in with, because my God is a giving God. Amen. What if we were a church full of people whose eyes were so fixed on God and on each other that trading our entitlements and preferences for his glory and praise was actually normal here? That it was second nature. What if we were a family of individuals who were so over ourselves, so done with this culture of me that we're so entrenched in, that we became known as that crazy church downtown, that you couldn't leave the doors feeling alone, afraid, hopeless, aimless, unworthy, and unloved? What if we were the kind of church that you couldn't walk out the doors without being filled to the brim with the reality, the truth, the awe, the greatness, the goodness, the kindness, the mercy, and the love of Jesus, because we were just so over ourselves? This is not an impossible dream. This is precisely the design that Jesus has for his church and has had from the very, very beginning. And all it takes is one decision. Which decision, you ask? I'm glad you asked. I will tell you. The one decision it takes is the next one. Not tomorrow, not in an hour from now, not in 5 minutes from now. It's the decision that's right in front of me right now, every day. All it takes is for me, for you, for us, in the now, in the next decision that is presented to us, to choose surrender. To choose that this life isn't about me. To choose worship. If you string enough of those right now moments together in an individual, you have a completely transformed life. If every moment you're saying, God, I have a decision before me. I want to surrender to you. What do I do? And then you make that decision in his care and his guiding. You string enough of those together, you have a transformed life. You want to know how you transform? It's the power of the Holy Spirit right now in that moment, in the next decision. And if you string enough of those right now surrender moments together in this whole church, you don't just have transformed individuals, you have a transformed city. That is the dream Jesus has for his church, and I don't care if every other church in America is going to be about them. They aren't. But I don't care if every single other church in America wasn't going this way. What if Cross Point in Modesto didn't go the way of normal? And what if every single one of us said, my life is a sacrifice, and I will remember my place as I'm being transformed? And that next moment, you made that decision of surrender. Is this a dream you can get behind? It is for me. And God loves you, and he's calling you into it. He's calling me into it. Amen. All right. I want to invite Andy Daub and Mike LaBelle up. They're going to just share some opportunities for how to serve here at Cross Point in the areas of worship. So would you welcome them on up to the stage?
Hey there. Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hey. How's it going, everyone? So good to be here with you. My name is Mike LaBelle. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a worship director here, worship leader, and I work with student ministries, worship teams, midweek, on our midweek service, and our college group, leading worship for that, and working with college students on Sunday nights.
Great, and I'm Andy Daub. Actually grew up here, so I've seen this church go through a lot of change, and it's awesome to have so many connections with everybody here. I'm the music director, and I help out with preparing things for the orchestra, get to play throughout the different services, play different things, and just pretty much anything that deals with paper and music, like getting that paper to people, that's something
that
I'm
responsible. You go through a lot of paper.
Yeah, I do.
A lot of trees.
I do. God is very good in providing those trees for us.
Yeah, they're already dead anyway. You're just making sure it's not in vain.
I'm utilizing them, yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that's what I do, and I've been here for 11 years.
Awesome. Well, Travis had talked about that remember my place as I'm being transformed. He talked about the fact that our lives are worship, and he talked about how basically, you know, 99% of the time, it's what you do Monday through Saturday, and Andy and I actually get to talk right now about that 1%, and we're super excited about it.
That matters.
Yeah,
we're not just going to throw that one away. This is important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And we're not just saying that because, you know, it's our job and, you know, whatnot. But honestly, music is super important, and that's that 1% that Travis is talking about. The time that we get to actually come together on Sunday mornings, and I don't know about you guys, but music is such an awesome gift, and I know I'm probably a little biased, but it just is one of those amazing gifts given by God that transcends language and time, and it has this amazing ability to connect people, and I also think that it has this amazing ability to connect our hearts with the heart of God. And, you know, I would imagine God, if he were, you know, for the dawn of time at his workbench, you know, imagine God at a workbench going, okay, what is a way that I can kind of provide a vehicle for truth? I'm going to be providing my word, so, you know, that's going to be called scripture, and, you know, it's going to contain, you know, aspects of who I am and my character. What's a way that I could contain that? And then I think he would also say, what's a way that I can make that memorable for people? Something that they can take with them wherever they go. And then I would imagine, too, a third point would be that what's something that can accomplish what just mere words cannot express. And then finally, I think he would say, what's something that could, that all my kids could do together, that my bride could come together and do? And I think when you add up all those ingredients, you get music. And I think music is very, very important to the heart of God. There's this little book in the Bible called Psalms. It's actually the largest book in the Bible. And so music is actually really important to the heart of God, and that's what we get to talk about, and that's what we get to celebrate every single week.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as we are thinking about that 1%, then there are a lot of people that are here right now that have skills or gifts or talents that God is saying, I want you to use this. This is a gift that I've given to you. Not just for you. You can play the trombone. You can play the piano. You love to sing. You have a way with knowing how to deal with faders and lights and all those different things. These are skills that I've given to you because I love you. But it's not just for you. And you are part of the body. You are able to complement one another. And we want to make sure that you guys all know that, you know, that alto sax that you have that you love to play at home, that is something that God can use. That is a gift that he can use for you to worship him, but also to be caring for the rest of the church. On Sunday mornings when we come together, we want as much as possible to create an atmosphere, to give everybody an opportunity to meet with God, to hear and to hear from him, and to tell him how we love him and who he is. So that's just a part of that, again, this 1% that we get to do. Another thing is, this is, like Mike talked about, a time with music where we are all connecting together, where we can appreciate that Mike has skills that I don't have, and yet I am blessed by him. Stan Dufton plays the tuba and has done it so faithfully, and he does it so much better than I could. I couldn't play the tuba like that. You know, Dwight Honeycutt plays the tenor sax, and he does it so much better than I could. I couldn't do that. And yet, because we all come together, we can appreciate that and love the Lord together and say, wow, it's amazing what God has given us to praise him and to care for one another.
Yeah, and there are multiple ways to get involved with music, especially on Sunday mornings. And one of those ways is to be in the band. If you have a gift, playing a guitar, bass, keys, and you really want to utilize that, that's a really easy way to get involved. Maybe you don't play an instrument with your hands. We have a choir. And vocalists, we're always looking for choir and vocalists. Andy works with our orchestra, and there's always, you know, room to grow in our orchestra. So if you had, like you said, that you know, saxophone that's just collecting dust in the corner, shake it off, get your lips loose, and, you know, give it a try. And then there's also tech and video. It's one of those underestimated and oftentimes undervalued aspect of what we do on Sunday morning. It's a very behind-the-scenes role, but it's crucial. You wouldn't be able to hear me right now if we didn't have, you know, tech people and who know what they're doing, because I don't know what to do. So if you're... Josh. Oh, that was good, Josh. Josh and I go way back, like 15 years. So, love you, buddy. so funny. So if you're interested in that too, there's a place for you. There's a place for you to serve, to not only get behind the mission and the heart of what we're doing here at Crosspoint, but as Andy said, to just serve and love one another through serving on Sunday mornings. One of the easiest ways that you can get connected is on our website. If you go to cpmodesto.org, we have a way for you to fill out your name, get some information. This little video on the screen, if you go to cpmodesto.org, go to the magnifying glass search bar there, type in serve and worship, and then you go to this link with the Headless Travis, serve and worship, and you can fill out your name, email, phone number. And we have this special section where you can tell us about you, but we also added this feature where you can actually upload a video link or an audio link of yourself performing or doing a piece of music, just to give us an idea of where you're at. And it's a very non-threatening, easy way as a first step. And then what we'll do is we'll contact you, get you involved, meet with you, talk with you, and go through a couple more steps of the audition process. And really quick, that audition process is a way that we like to shepherd the church. We're about shepherding talents and abilities, and so we want to put you in the best place that not only meets a need, but it also suits you the best. It's not a teaching process, so if you are interested in playing the bass guitar and then sign up for the worship team, that's probably not the best way to do it. It's probably better to go get some lessons and then come back, and we'll work with you and talk with you about your next steps. So that's a very practical way, probably one of the easiest ways to get involved.
Yep. Another thing is you can actually just come up and talk to Mike or talk to me, and we'll get your information, and then we can connect it at some other point. So that is another way. And Mike, you talked a little bit about, you know, if someone says, well, I really want to know how to play the drums, I'm going to join as part of the worship team at Crosspoint, that is not the best way to go.
Correct.
You don't have to know everything, but there is like a basic level where people need to know their instrument before they're really become usable. So that is an important thing. Another thing is that it doesn't come down to just musical talent, that if someone like is an incredible guitarist, but we don't see any spiritual growth in their life, doesn't seem that they have like they have love for Jesus, we will appreciate that talent, but probably they won't be able to be a part of what's going on up here on the platform. So we want again, and we don't need people to be canonized as saints either in order to be a part of what's going on here on the platform. But seeing growth where people are saying, I am surrendering in humility to Jesus, and I'm ready for him to grow me. And then also that same attitude with musical skill too.
Yeah, absolutely. Humility is a huge part of serving and leading in worship. So, and we're actually going to be out in the street between services, a few of us. So if you want to come talk to us right away, we'll get you connected immediately. So thank you so much for letting us share how to get involved, and just something that's really important to our church here, music ministry and worshiping God through music. We're actually going to enter into a time of worship through music right now. So I just invite you all to stand right now. In the Bible, there are countless angels that are appearing before the throne of God, just saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they're constantly just praising him and praising his name. Every single week, we get to join the song of heaven. We get to join with the angels in saying, holy is our God, be enthroned upon our praises, God. We love you. We thank you. We praise you and worship your name. So I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to enter into a time of worship as we close. Lord, you are just so good. You are so worthy of our praise and so amazing. That God, the words that we have on the screen, the words that we can think up in our hearts are just not enough. But God, what we have, we give to you. So Lord Jesus, be honored. Holy Spirit, be here and move in us. We lift you high this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.